Paul speaks to Timothy after 15 years like a father to a son, and he's saying, Timothy, I've not got long left. Here's what I want to impart to you. I want you, son, to be everything that you can be for Christ. And I want that church that you pastor there at Ephesus to be everything that that church can be for Jesus Christ. I don't want you or them to be like a box of fireworks. I want you to be like a blazing lighthouse that sustains its light and that rescues many. So here's what you have to do. You have to watch your life.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, I'm going to guess that the majority of us listening today would say, I want to be everything that I can be for Christ. But what does that mean? How do I actually go about doing that?
Well, we're going to look at a verse in Scripture today that really gets to the heart of how we can be useful to Jesus Christ. Paul says to Timothy, watch your life and watch your doctrine and persevere in these things. We're going to look at the first of these today. What does it mean to watch your life? Remember, Jesus said to the disciples, watch and pray.
Right.
So what are we to watch? How are we to guard ourselves? What is it about my life that I need to keep my eyes on and be particularly watchful towards? These things are actually laid out very clearly in the Scriptures. We're going to look at what they are. Five things that you have to watch in your own life, how to do that, and why that's critical to persevering and therefore maximizing your usefulness to the Lord.
Well, a real practical message today. If you can, grab a Bible and join us in the book of 1 Timothy as we continue perseverance in life. Here is Pastor Colin.
I want to suggest this morning from the Scriptures five areas for self-examination. As we are called to watch our lives, we are clearly given that responsibility and we are given that ability. Five areas for self-examination in which you are to watch your life, and I am to watch mine. When you go to the doctor for the physical, you know the routine that he goes through. There are certain things that characteristically go wrong in the human body. So starting at the top and working his way down to the bottom, he has certain little tests that he runs through when you go for a physical. Certain things he's looking for. Well, let's apply that same kind of thinking here, because Paul gives us a checklist. We're back in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And if you look just above verse 16, you'll see the checklist right there in verse 12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity until I come. Devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and teaching. Don't neglect the gift that was given you, and so forth. Be diligent in these matters. Pursue them wholly so that everyone will see your progress. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. So being specific then, what this means is, verse 12, watch your speech. Watch your speech. Watch it closely. What have been the dominant subjects of your conversation in recent days? What have you been saying to other people? And what have other people been saying to you? Watch this. Watch it very closely. What we say matters. I want to give you a number of references that are there on the screen for us to note down and to ponder at greater length later if we wish. 1 Timothy and chapter 5. And verse 13 speaks about some folks who go from house to house and not only become idlers, but gossips and busybodies, saying things that they ought not to. They're just going around, you see, gossiping. What we say matters. What we listen to matters. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 16. Avoid godless chatter. Because, now look at this, avoid godless chatter because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Gossipy chatter will ruin your character progressively. That's what it says. How you present what you say matters. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 23 and 24. don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know that they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone and able to teach and not resentful. So, watch what you say, watch what you hear, distance yourself from godless chatter because it will be ruinous to your own character. Avoid foolish talk and stupid arguments. Watch your speech. Second, watch your conduct. Now, the word that's used in the New International Version here is life. Specifically, conduct or behavior is perhaps more precise. The meaning of the word here is really your habits, your way of going about things, your typical way of presenting yourself and dealing with other people. Watch how you come across would be a good way of translating this. Now, this, of course, is a great area for us to ask someone who knows us well and might be able to see what we would miss. But to give you an example of the sort of things that's covered here by watching our conduct, if you look at 1 Timothy chapter 5 and the first couple of verses, where Paul's talking to Timothy as a 35-year-old about the way he comes across in his communication with others. And he says, "Don't rebuke an older man, but exhort him as if he were your father." See, Timothy, for goodness sake, you're 35 years old. Watch out how you speak to older people. Show a bit of respect. That's what he's saying. Treat younger men as brothers and older women as mothers and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. These are examples of conduct. Watch it. Watch how you come across. Watch your conduct closely. Watch your speech. Watch your conduct. Third, watch your love. As you're watching your life, which is key to perseverance, watch your love. Now, let's take this theme up in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. And let me read a couple of verses and notice the references here to love. There are several. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. Mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of what? Lovers of together? Themselves. Lovers of money, okay, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. And look at this, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So he's clearly talking throughout this little passage about love. And what he's saying is simply this: a person who loves self and who loves money and who loves pleasure doesn't know what love is at all. Doesn't have any love. Without love, you see. Paul says to Timothy, set an example in love. It's sometimes fascinating putting things that are addressed to the same people in the New Testament together. Will you turn over with me? This is the only time we'll go away from Timothy, so keep a finger in it or a marker. But turn over to Revelation in chapter 2. Because some years after the death of the Apostle Paul, John, the Apostle, is given the book of Revelation. He's given the book of Revelation. And at the beginning of chapter 2, this prophetic word from the risen Christ is given to the church in Ephesus, where guess who was the pastor? Timothy. And what does Christ say some years later to Pastor Timothy, if we can assume that he was still there and the church that had flourished under his ministry? These are the words of him, this is Christ, who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, your perseverance. You can't tolerate wicked men. You have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. You have persevered. I like that. Amen. Timothy, you did it. And you have endured hardship for my name, and you have not grown weary. You have been a hard worker. You've done it. Yet, I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you've fallen, repent and do the things that you did at first. You've been so consumed in the work, you've lost your love for me. Remember the sweetness of the fellowship we once had, the Lord says. Repent, return to that. Draw near to me to recapture it. Watch your love.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, and we're in a message called Perseverance in Life, taking a look at how we watch our life. Now, we're pausing right here, but we'll get back to this message in just a moment. You know, here at Open the Bible, we want to help you dig deeper into God's Word, help you have a better understanding of how the whole Bible fits together. And so we put together a section of our website called Open the Bible Story. And this is a great way for you to understand how the whole Bible fits together from Genesis to Revelation. As Pastor Colin likes to say, it's one story that begins in a garden, ends in a city, the whole way through it points to Jesus. And when you come to our website and click on Open the Bible Story, you're going to find three journeys through the Bible. One is called The Flight. It's a three-session journey that introduces you to five people from the Old Testament, five events from the life of Jesus, and five gifts that God gives to every Christian. You'll also find a 30-session journey and a 50-session journey. Learn more about this when you visit our website, openthebible.org, and click on Open the Bible Story. All right, let's get back to the message. Once again, here is Pastor Colin.
Fourthly, watch your faith. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 5 and 6. Back to 2 Timothy and 1 Timothy again. Watch your faith. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verses 5 and 6. Paul says, I've been reminded of your sincere faith. That's his personal faith. It was in your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice. I'm now persuaded it lives in you. And for this reason, I'm reminding you, Timothy, to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Timothy, you have this gift of faith. Use it. Use it. And use it by exercising the gifts that I have given to you. Because, Timothy, the great danger as you become settled in ministry is that you become settled into a routine. You are no longer stretching your faith or venturing and stretching the gifts that God has given to you. What is happening to your faith? Do you see evidence of growing confidence in God as you've been walking with him a longer time now? Or are you actually becoming more cynical, more pessimistic? What God-honoring, kingdom-expanding dream is stretching your faith right now? Faith is like a muscle. And anyone who's ever been in a plaster cast knows that when a muscle is not used for a period of time and the plaster cast comes off, it atrophies because it has not been used. Timothy, God has given you gifts. If you don't use them, you'll lose them. Stretch that faith for the glory of God. What's happening to your faith? How is it being stretched? Are you just drifting? Watch your faith closely. Number five, watch your purity. Watch your purity. And in these letters, Paul calls Timothy as a 35-year-old to purity in two areas that are with us all of our lives. The first, of course, is sexual purity. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, flee the evil desires of youth. Quite clear what he's referring to there. And pursue righteousness, faith, love with those who call on the name of the Lord out of pure heart. Watch your life closely, and whenever you see something unhealthy in the area of sexual attraction, flee it. That's a principle. Flee it. Get away from it. Run from it. put a distance between you and any source of sexual temptation and watch this one closely, is what he says. It may mean you distance yourself from a relationship. Far better to do that than to fall into sin. It may mean changing your route traveling home. It may mean passing up going with colleagues at work to a particular bar. It may mean leaving a small group. Do whatever you need to do to get away from a situation in which you are likely to fall, because a person who engages in sexual sin has just not been watching their life. And the second area is money. This is 1 Timothy in chapter 6, reading from verse 9. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. So if you've set your heart on really wanting to get rich, Paul is saying you will fall into a trap. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Now, watch your life closely, especially with regards the power of money. And, of course, for all of us who do not have significant amount of money, we immediately think that this must be a word to those who do. I was challenged by something written by Mark Deaver. The amount of money does not have to be large for someone to love it. Even small amounts of money can work on small hearts. That's true. How do you watch your life in regards to purity in relation to money? Well, one way is to look at your giving. That will tell you a great deal about what the love of money is doing in your own life at this time. So watch your life closely. Speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity in relation to the areas of sex and in relation to the area of money. Watch and keep on watching. Paul says, persevere in these things. Don't just take a glance at them. You've got to keep watching them all your life. And build in periodic review so that you have focused attention on these significant areas. Watch them and keep watching them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. What in all the world does that mean? I mean, salvation is by grace through faith in Christ. No one was ever saved by self-examination, right? So what does Paul mean? Think of it this way. What could destroy your life? What could ruin your testimony? What could make you into a blazing firework rather than a lighthouse? Foolish talk, careless conduct, loving the wrong things, lack of faith, impurity in relation to sex or money. Turn you from a lighthouse into a rocket. Fizzles out. Second question. What could destroy the church? Foolish talk, careless conduct, loving the wrong things, lack of faith, impurity in relation to sex or money. So Paul's saying, Timothy, personally, watch these things in your life and you'll save yourself. And Timothy, watch these things in the life of the church and you'll save your hearers as well. See, the reality is that there is enough sin and enough foolishness in all of us for any of us to make a complete disaster of our lives. True? There is enough sin and foolishness in all of us for any of us to make a complete disaster of our lives. And let's face it, how many Christians are all that they could be for Jesus Christ? How many churches really are all that they could be for Jesus Christ and for impact in this world? And Paul speaks to Timothy after 15 years, like a father to a son, and he's saying, Timothy, I've not got long left. Here's what I want to impart to you. I want you, son, to be everything that you can be for Christ. And I want that church that you pastor there at Ephesus to be everything that that church can be for Jesus Christ. I don't want you or them to be like a box of fireworks. I want you to be like a blazing lighthouse that sustains its light and that rescues many. So here's what you have to do. You have to watch your life and watch it closely. Watch these things and persevere in them. You'll save yourself and you'll save your hearers. And then you'll find something else. You will feel your need of Christ more than you have ever felt it before, and you will grow in your love for Christ more than you've ever grown in that before. I find that the high calling of the Christian life drives me to Christ. I look at this stuff and I think I fall so far short, I have so far to go. Holiness is easy for those who've never tried it. But once you start watching your life, you will have a whole new appreciation for Jesus. Doesn't this make you thankful that you can come to Him today and know that in His one hand, He holds forgiveness for past failures, and in the other, strength for future endeavors, and that He never gives the one without the other.
Well, that certainly is something to be thankful for. You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Perseverance. It's from a larger series called The Apostle's Apprentice, a series where we're taking a look at Timothy, the apprentice to the Apostle Paul. And if you missed any of the broadcasts in the series, you can come and you can listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also connect with this program with the Open the Bible app. That's a great way to listen to this daily radio broadcast, as well as our weekend program. Find a plan for reading through the Bible in a year. Connect with our daily devotional, which you can both read and listen to, and more. You can find the app at your favorite app store, or we'll link you to it through our website. That's openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. We're able to be on the station because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you an Advent devotional to help you prepare your heart for this Advent season. It's a 24-day devotional from Pastor Colin. And Colin, this is based on Isaiah chapter 40, right?
Yes, it's a marvelous chapter of Scripture to meditate on, especially as we're preparing ourselves for Christmas. And it's so full of good things. I mean, just verse after verse speak to us wonderfully. I mean, for example, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Now, that beautiful image of the flower and the grass fading away, it just speaks to us of the fragility of life. And we all come to places when we're feeling how fragile things are, things that we have, things that are around us, our own lives, the lives of other people we love and trust. And suddenly when you become aware of the fragility of everything in this world, you begin to say, what is there solid? What is there that I can rest on? What is there that will never move? And here Isaiah says, the word of the Lord stands forever. That builds strength into the soul. So this chapter is just full of wonderful, rich truth that will build, nourish, strengthen your soul. And it leads to this marvelous promise that's the title of the devotional. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. So if you need renewed strength, this is a wonderful chapter of Scripture for you to meditate on.
Well, we want to send you, as our way of saying thank you for your financial support and to help you prepare your heart for this Advent season, Pastor Colin's devotional book, Waiting for the Lord. You can find out more or give your gift online when you come to openthebible.org or call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. Our website is openthebible.org, and again, the phone number, 1-877-673-6365. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening today, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. Find out how you can make a difference in this world for Jesus Christ. That's next time on Open the Bible.